Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, November 19th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the police officers involved in Sunday's fatal Minneapolis shooting have been identified. Democrats want help for black Minnesotans in a special session. It was another tense night in North Minneapolis as demonstrators and police went nose-to-nose outside the 4th Precinct Police Headquarters. Both sides were hit with chemical irritants and some lobbed insults at police, while others called for peace. Members of the Black Lives Matter movement say they'll continue to occupy the area around the police station until they get answers about the death of 24-year-old Jamar Clark. Matt Sepik has the story.
Protesters have been at the police station on Plymouth Avenue North since Sunday when a Minneapolis police officer shot Jamar Clark in the head. Clark died late the next day after he was taken off life support. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, which is investigating, says police responded to a report that Clark had been interfering with an ambulance crew trying to treat his girlfriend, and police say they suspected Clark of assaulting her. The BCA has so far refused to make video of the incident public, saying that could taint witness testimony, but Candace Montgomery, a Black Lives Matter organizer, isn't buying that explanation.
They know that that's not true. They don't think that actually would harm the investigation. It's a lie. It's a way to protect themselves. It's a way to continue to protect the officers and the Minneapolis Police Department.
The fourth night of demonstrations was generally peaceful, but there were some tense moments. At one point, a police van sped down Morgan Avenue and turned onto Plymouth. Officers in riot gear stepped out and stood in the street for several minutes before returning to the station. A short time later, several dozen officers came back out through the alley behind the building.
The police van is back and trying to get down the alley. Protesters are running out of the way now. Police in riot gear trying to clear a path so the police van can get back through. Cops on bikes.
Protesters hung tarps on the back fence of the police station, blocking them from the officers' view. As police were removing those tarps from the west side of the precinct headquarters, they sprayed at least 4 demonstrators with a chemical irritant. The department said later that protesters had thrown rocks and bottles at officers, and one had been hit with irritant sprayed from outside the fence. Both Jamar Clark's family and political leaders are calling for calm. On her blog, Mayor Betsy Hodges said she and Police Chief Janae Harto, quote, are asking officers to exercise maximum restraint and are asking protesters to act peacefully. Around 11 last night, several protesters went to Hodges' house in South Minneapolis. The mayor wasn't there, but her husband Gary Cunningham told NPR News he let the group inside and chatted with them for about 15 minutes. Governor Mark Dayton spoke with reporters earlier in the day.
I'm very concerned about any time that number of people are gathered, there's always some possibility of something more serious happening. I understand that the members of the family have called for peace and calm, and I greatly appreciate that.
Dayton said rumors about calling the National Guard were totally incorrect, and he was not considering such action. The governor, who supports a federal probe of the shooting, also said his staff viewed ambulance video of the incident, but he did not see the footage himself. Dayton declined to comment further, saying it's part of the investigation. The shooting of Jamar Clark has sparked competing narratives from authorities and demonstrators, and those narratives continue to diverge. Black Lives Matter organizers say Clark was handcuffed and not resisting arrest when he was shot. Lieutenant Bob Kroll, president of the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis, says not only is that untrue, but he tells Care 11 that Clark tried to reach for an officer's gun. Also yesterday, the BCA released the names of the officers involved, Mark Ringenberg and Dustin Schwarzy. Both joined the Minneapolis police late last year after several years of service in other departments. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach is adding to the issues he would like to see addressed in a special legislative session. Bach says Senate Democrats agree with Governor Dayton that extending benefits for unemployed steelworkers should be a top priority. Bach says the legislature should also consider helping other Minnesotans who are having economic problems.
The other issue that really comes to mind to me is this recent report on the disparity in black income and the persistent unemployment there. I believe there's some legislation ready to go to try and address some of those disparities in the black communities, you know, specifically in the urban areas.
Governor Dayton quickly signed on to the idea. DFL Senator Jeff Hayden of Minneapolis says one bill left over from last session would fund a small business development program for communities of color. He said another would fund a job skill training program.
There seems to be a lot of employers who are looking for workers, but what they're saying is the workers don't have the skills to meet the demand. And this really helps bridge that gap. And then we also know that people have always said that small business is the backbone of our economic success in this country.
Hayden says it's appropriate for lawmakers to address urban economic issues at the same time they provide assistance to the Iron Range. He said he'll propose a broader package aimed at racial disparities during the 2016 regular session. Bach says other issues that could be tackled during a special session include making state driver's license comply with federal ID standards and helping resort owners and other businesses around Lake Mille Lacs. House Republicans still haven't weighed in on whether they're open to a special session. There are now at least 30 governors who are calling for a halt to the process of accepting Syrian refugees. This comes after news that one of the Paris suicide bombers was reputed to have a Syrian passport and is said to have entered the country with migrants. Governor Dayton has called the concern posturing and said he's satisfied with the background process used for accepting the refugees. Minnesota U.S. Senator Al Franken signed a letter back in September asking the government to accept more refugees fleeing the continued violence in Syria and calling for American leadership in this humanitarian crisis. Franken told NPR's Tom Cran that the Paris attacks have not changed his opinion.
We should be taking the Syrian refugees. As far as the numbers are concerned, we need to vet these people, obviously, and we do. I don't think we should halt that, and I think we should. This is the largest humanitarian crisis since World War II, and refugee crisis anyway. Mm-hmm. And 4 million people have fled Syria because of the kind of terror that we saw in Paris. And these people are victims, and they're victims of terror. This is a humanitarian crisis, and we need to act in the American tradition of welcoming vulnerable refugees. Now, we have to keep our very stringent security checks in place.
I want to ask about that, and yes. If you're satisfied that there would be an adequate screening process. It was House Speaker Paul Ryan who says, hey, maybe we ought to put the brakes on this for now, using the term better safe than sorry. Are you satisfied that the process is there and would be able to vet and weed out any sleeper cells or agents such as the one allegedly was part of the situation in Paris?
I think you have to understand that the process we do is very different than the part of this plot that was in Paris. This takes about between a year and a half and 2 years for the typical vetting of a Syrian refugee. They go through many levels of our national security apparatus. They use all the information they have on these people. They do individual interviews. This is very, very different than that terrorist in Paris. Obviously, we have to make sure that people enter our country are closely vetted, and if anything we can do to make this process more airtight, we should do it. But we can't be closing our doors to families who are fleeing this horrific violence.
Are you still behind the number of 60, 65,000, as I've seen attributed to you and the other senators who signed that letter?
Yeah, well, we did this quite a while ago. So what we were asking for was something over a longer time period.
Right.
And an aspirational goal of 65,000. And I would like to see us do that. Again, this is, you'll see 1.9 million in Turkey, 2 million in Lebanon. That's one-fifth of that nation's population. We can take, the United States of America can take more than we are.
That's DFL Senator Al Franken talking to NPR's Tom Cran.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.